Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. Welcome back, hobby hackers. If you missed part one, go listen to Dennis Metter, DM. He walked us through how podcasting can help professionals stand out in even the most competitive industries. I got it. Today we're talking strategy, how to turn a podcast into a platform for branding, storytelling, and business development. Dennis, thank you for coming back. Welcome back to the show.
Absolutely. Always love a two-parter.
All right, let's do this. What's the difference between just having a podcast and actually using it as a business tool?
A few things. One is the content itself, right? So if I'm a lawyer and I have a podcast, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm covering the legal issues where I can help people. I could do a podcast about bourbon, and there is a bourbon lawyer show where they sit around drinking bourbon and talk, but I could talk about bourbons, right? And yeah. Although I'm a lawyer, so it could be the legal bourbon hour or whatever, but we only talk about bourbon. So the content, number one, and then the marketing behind it. I think I love lawyers, but I think sometimes they can be a little guilty of what's in here is so valuable that if I put it out here, the world's going to just flock to it. But I'm not going to put it out here because it's too valuable. It's got to stay here.
Yeah.
And encouraging attorneys to give accessible answers that don't sound like, so talking in a way, and I think we talked about this in the last episode, just speaking in a way that is approachable for people, that makes people feel like, here's how I define it in my company. We talk about three things constantly. We want to do things better. We want to do them faster. Mm-hmm. And we want to do them with less friction. Better is internal, faster is internal, but less friction is really with the client. It's got to be easy for them to buy, yeah. Easy for them to be part of the process. We don't want to take a lot of their time. And so because of that's what we use to kind of structure that to be able to push the content.
I love that. Focusing in on bringing out the value and using the podcast as a tool. And you're absolutely right. It's not just lawyers. It's literally every person in the world saying, my idea is the best idea and I don't want to put it out there because somebody might steal it. A friend of mine.
I wrote this the other day, and I never claim anything original because I read articles and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. If you've heard it, don't say I'm taking credit for it. But I said something like this. Ideas are worthless. Execution, my friends, that's where the money's at.
Amen. Amen.
We all have it like... How many friends do you have
ideas.
Sitting there and they'll be like, oh, I thought of that 5 years ago, and they'll see it on mm-hmm. TV. And you're just like, why didn't you say anything? I had $1 million idea. No one. Let me tell you this, guys. There is no such thing as $1 million idea. There is mm-hmm. only $1 million executions of ideas.
Yes.
Better execution with a lower idea is always going to outbeat a higher idea with very poor to no execution.
100%. I just saw a video where it was a story about the guy who created Calendly. It's the simplest tool ever. It just makes it easier for you to share your calendar. People can book in. And it's a $3 billion company. Yep. But he took a small, tiny idea and made it accessible for tons of people. And boom, it blew up.
Better execution. We've gone away from Calendly three times in the last 6 years with my teams.
Yeah.
And every time we went, we came back because for us, mm-hmm. we're the only ones that are auto like integrated. So what we found, like our hold rate would dip 25 points if we tried any other calendar system. So we just have to keep going back to them because they mm-hmm. execute better than every single one of their competitors.
Look at that. There's a testimonial. There's a testimonial for Calendly right there. Boom. This pause. This
hey, episode Calendly. Let's just swap testimonials.
Yeah, let's just do
Calendly.
That.
Here's my Calendly. You cut this out. Calendly's the best. Now I just need you to say that about my network, and we're good.
Amen. Amen. DM. All right. What are few ways you help legal professionals leverage their episodes for credibility and long-term authority. And we talked about this a lot in the previous episode, but let's go deeper into what are those few ways you help legal professionals.
I think it's really about the ancillary stuff, the assets to it. When you have a show, you put it out there. If you put a show, here's what we've learned, because we started with 3 pieces of content per episode. Mm-hmm. Now we're at 30. And that's been within a year.
Yeah.
A lot of that's AI. I'm not claiming like we've gotten 10 times better. We're just learning AI like crazy. Mm-hmm. Part of my week is examining different AIs that might help my company in different ways.
Yeah.
Being able to take that content, place it strategically, put it in the different outlets, put it as much as we can. I am what I call outlet agnostic. Mm-hmm. In other words, I know you're an attorney and you don't have a TikTok. I get it, because you're 55 and why would you have a TikTok? Your daughter has it. Understandable. But here's the thing. There are people your age that have TikTok. There are people that would be your clients in your market that TikTok is where they are. And so not being afraid to, like we do Twitch, LinkedIn, all of the Twitter variations, X, Blue Sky, Threads, both of the metas. We're just like, listen, if it exists and it's push a major platform, let's push it out there, because, maybe 90% of people will ignore it. But if I find 10 outlets with a 10% increase in your opportunity, I've just doubled your opportunity.
Yeah.
So that's the way I look at it.
And then not only that, if you're posting 10 pieces of content in 10 different places, that's 100 pieces of content a week.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. Technically speaking, correct. That's 10. It would be, if we did 10 a day, 10 outlets a day, each one had a post 7 days a week, that'd be 70 pieces a week.
There we go.
But that's just if we did it a day. If that's a once a month client. If they're twice a month client, now we're 140. Or they're 210 pieces a week, which means they are sitting at 840 at the end of the month. 30 times 3 is 90 times 10, 900.
900, yeah. And
900 posts and pieces of content. Like, you tell me where for $600 to $1,800 a month, you can have a show, 2 to 3 pages of FAQ content, which, by the way, scale very well in SEO.
Oh, my God.
Because everything's query-based. All of the AI, the ChatGPT, blah, blah, blah.
Everything.
They're query-based. So all of our shows and all of our content are based around query-based. So not only are we showing well with SEO, but we're preparing for the AI SEO, whatever that's called. That sounds like I'm singing the old McDonald's song. But no one's told me what it is yet. Is it GPT-EO? It's just too much.
No, what you're saying here is that the more output content is available per person, per firm, the more in front of people they are, right?
Correct. And the more the algorithms will put them in front of people.
Exactly. And then because
it's not things are the same. You can't say, I put one piece of content a day and I get 100 people. So if I do 3 pieces, I'll get 300. No. If you do one piece a day and get 100, if you do 3 pieces, you'll probably reach 600 people.
Yes.
Because the algorithm.
Rise.
Exactly. The algorithm recognizes your contributions over time, especially if people click, like, share, click through, all of that. Then they're like, this is a credible source. Mm-hmm. We want to use this. And when you use the internet's outlets to do it, you've already given credibility to it.
Amen.
So you're not just hiding it on your own site. You're putting on every outlet that you can to be like, it's on LinkedIn, it's on whatever. Like I said, we have clients with Twitch channels and Pinterest boards, and they do well with them.
Amazing. And to that point, DM, people buy from people they trust. And trust is built through repetition and relevance, and you're doing that for your clients. Now, talk to me, DM.
Absolutely.
How do you coach your clients to stay consistent and avoid the content burnout trap? Because that's a huge thing that's happening all over the place. How do you help them?
I have a team. They're a content team. There's really two of them. One lady who's been doing this for 10 years. She used to do website SEO content for attorneys, book content for attorneys, and now she does podcasts. So we're getting to the point, we're not there yet, because we have to fix piece by piece of the systems that we're seeing like would help with like retention if we put this in place. So one of the things that we're getting in place, and I would say within the next 3 months, is after we initially onboard the client, and then we send them their first first podcast shoot worth of episodes. Mm-hmm. Also going to send them a 1-year plan that shows them over the next year, here's all the things we're going to cover. So they don't have to worry about content burnout because my team researches and we use different things like search models to find the questions that are being asked. We use different AI tools to find the questions that are being asked. So for our clients, all they have to do is onboard. Then we use that to build that profile, and then we take care of everything from there. We send them the questions a week before each podcast shoot. We provide a host. Our host asks them the questions. So they literally just have to 30 minutes a show, however you want to look at that, sit down, answer 7 to 10 questions that they've gotten a week ahead of time that are right in their wheelhouse, and then, boom, we cut it up and do all kinds of fun stuff with it from there.
This right here is blowing my mind, which is really powerful, and a lot of people don't think about the value of this content structure that you're building out for them, right? Because they're thinking that they have to do all of the stuff, right? Figure out this stuff, come up with the stuff, do the stuff, answer their own questions, but you're providing a whole system that they just have to show up, answer the questions, and then now you can take that content based on this question answered and provide them with a product that's giving them internet familiarity and power.
For one guy, one random guy that's my client, he's got internet fame among his fellow bar members or whatever.
Boom. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we do. We use that to build up with the question plan. When you show people a path, it's kind of, and this is what I told my team. I'm like, guys, imagine if you are like on a road and you have no phone. You have no map, but you got somebody in the passenger seat that says, oh, just go that way. Yeah. And we've all, if we're old enough, we probably felt like that. And you're okay. And then you start going, am I going to turn anywhere? Do I need to turn at this light? What's going on? But that's what people do to their clients. They're like, hey, trust me. And then they come on and then
just go straight.
And I'm not going to say that we haven't at times been guilty of this. This is what we're changing and what we're instituting. We have a weekly email that gives them everything from, here's when you can go schedule your next podcast. Here's the podcast that you have. Here's what's happened in a rolling month. We give them like five pieces of information. Here's when we need you to book your next podcast by so that your show keeps going out in a timely manner. Here's this. So it's just literally a Monday email that just, boom, gives them everything they need.
I love that. All right.
But yeah, if you don't give people a sense of direction, they're not going to ride with you long. They're going to take the first stop off. And so what we're trying to do is provide a roadmap so that they feel like they're on a journey. And then when we get towards the end of year one, we come out and we show them a whole new content plan with whole new spins and ways. Now they bought in for another year.
Exactly.
So it's just getting that process in place. I had something I was going to say. Maybe I'll remember. We'll come back to it.
All right. DM, this has been very powerful. What's a content rhythm that's actually sustainable for busy professionals? And you mentioned it's once a week. Sometimes it's once a month. What's been the sweet spot for them?
For content like on social or just putting out a show or like what specifically?
Putting out a show. Not the social.
So podcasts, like putting out a podcast show, again, it really just depends. It's better to have one show a month consistently than have two shows that should be four shows and sometimes it's three shows and sometimes it's four shows.
Yeah.
So a lot of our clients will start with one or two shows. And then once they see, oh, this is easy. It is what they say. They'll move up to four shows.
Yeah.
But that's why we do it that way. The number of times, at least as far as this sort of like the podcast piece itself, the number of times that you do it, the only advantage to doing it more is now you're going to have more ancillary content that's going to come out and it's going to keep you in the algorithms. So that's the advantage to having more. It's just if you do two shows a month, now you've doubled your chances. You're doing four shows a month, you've gone up again another 50%.
I love it. DM, what's the bigger picture here? Where do you see podcasting for legal or professional service going in the next 5 years for your company?
So there's a few things that I foresee. One is I think there's going to be like a separation out. And I think B2B is going to look very different than B2C content. Right now, B2B has a tendency to copy B2C content because it hasn't really found a way to translate to being as consumable in the digital space. So I think that the production value of B2C content has, or B2B content has to go up. And I think the entertainment value of B2B content needs to go up, because when there's only one lawyer talking about it, he could just drone. But when there's eight, then the guy that's, all right, so how we're going to handle this, that's the, there's got to be some sort of entertainment value. For example, what we're doing, show, it's going to be called BAM, Building Authority Through Media. And the concept is, I am a superhero called Bam Man, like Batman, have a superhero. Like, literally, we have a whole cartoon built out character for me, and each of my guests will have a cartoon character. And what we're going to do is do a four-part series on each subject. So we're starting off with LinkedIn, and I have very well-known experts in these fields. But when they come in, I'm Bam Man, and like my first shoot is going to be with Misfit. She is a ex-lawyer turned LinkedIn coach out of England with about, I don't know, 90, 100,000 followers. And she's going to come on, and we're going to go on a journey, because it's a narrative podcast, with questions, but the questions are going to be in the form of, so this narrative journey of, okay, like for the first episode, we're fighting the two enemies, the clout chaser and limiting LinkedIn. And so like, how does she battle like clout chasing for her client? What can we do to not get caught up in that trap of just putting content up for the sake of putting content up, or because we think it'll get likes? And like putting a picture of your baby on LinkedIn, it's going to get likes, it's going to get awe, it's going to get all that, but is it relevant? Is it moving your business? And I think that's what, so I'm trying to start cultivating shows where very high end production, they're going to be cartoon. Like when you watch it on YouTube, it's going to be the two cartoon characters talking. You won't even see our faces. And then once AI gets there, which what I'm learning is about every 3 months, AI turns a corner of what we used to think would take 5 years. So 3 months is now 5 years. So I think in 3 to 6 months, once we can just load a transcript into AI and load our characters, it will come out with about a 20-minute cartoon with our voices. And then we're going to publish those cartoons in little cartoon series so that people can watch the LinkedIn cartoon series and see the things. And it's, it's remedial, but I think it's entertaining and different visually. Yeah. It's like in a 60s, 70s style comic book cartoon style.
No, so I love that.
That's the kind of stuff that I think people need to do in order to set their show apart.
I love that. Wow, DM, this has been so much fun. I've got one final fun question for you.
Okay,
If you could create a crossover episode between Willy Wonka and The Office, what would the podcast be called and who's the guest?
I would have to workshop it a little bit, but I'm thinking right away, co-hosts would be, again, Michael Scott and Gene Wilder. I think we'd call it World of Pure Imagination, because that's the song. And also when Michael Scott dressed up as Willy Wonka, I don't know if you watched that episode, and he put the little coupons for 50% off. Yeah, he actually did an episode where he dressed up as Willy Wonka.
There we go.
And then he put 50% off coupons, or 10% off coupons for the year in orders as the golden tickets, but he gave them all to the biggest client, which was Blue Cross Blue Shield. And it was like, ended up being like a 50% discount off in Blue Cross Blue Shield, and they would have lost so much money. Anyway, I'm digressing. So the podcast would be, these two would be called A World of Pure Imagination. And I think it would be, the guests would be people in, I like to use the word whimsical. Like, I like to try to be whimsical. I love whimsical things. Like I said, I tattooed the Willy Wonka on my arm.
Yeah.
I think it would be like a whimsical, nonsensical business podcast with like local business owners or just different people like that, where they would just sit there and those two would just be asking crazy off the wall questions, or like Gene Wilder, who's no longer here, but his character would be just like piercing into their soul and like getting them to admit or whatever. But that's how I see that podcast.
Man,
how do you see it?
That sounds really exciting. It would be pretty fun to see. And with what you mentioned about where AI is going in the next 6 months, you could just feed it and it would create that episode for you, which is mind-blowing what's possible.
I just read, though, the FTC just said commercial use is not fair use of intellectual property, which means when you're creating this stuff, you can create it. And if it doesn't get popular, you'll probably be fine. But come 3 months when you can create whoever you want, yeah. don't be putting The Rock, videos of The Rock, create holding your hand and making out with you, ladies or guys, whoever.
No.
Understand there's still intellectual property in place.
Create your own original stuff.
Exactly. That's where it's like even with us, with our characters, we know there's spinoffs of whatever. And oh, there is a misfit in the Marvel universe, but we spelled it different. She looks different and her powers are different. So it's not like we're just ripping it off.
Amen. Dennis, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about the Legal Podcast Network and get in touch if they want to work with you?
If they're a professional, I'm hoping you're on LinkedIn. I learned the other day I've been on there 17 years. I didn't even know social was around 17 years. I must have been the third person who signed up.
Nice.
I mean, I only have 3,500 followers because I didn't take it seriously till 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn, Dennis Metter, and then website, real simple, thelegalpodcastnetwork.com. I'm actually, and for the evergreen effect of this, I'm actually creating my own site. It's probably going to be imnotgonnapitchyou.com. I own the domain. And so in the beginning of the shows, when people are like, tell us about your business, I'm going to say, hey, let's get to the meat. Go to this website. I'm not going to pitch you. And it'll have like my show, my company, basically everything I'm involved in. So it's just one place for everything.
I like it. DM, thank you so much for your time here. I really enjoyed our conversation. Can't wait to continue to having more conversations on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me on, my friend.
Thank you. I'll see you next time. All right, hobby hackers, if you've been on the fence about podcasting, this is your cue. Your voice is your value. Until next time, keep creating, keep building trust, and keep hacking your way to the top. We'll see you in the next one. We'll see you in the next episode. You know what I'm saying.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.